Yes.
So this morning, with the fall coming up so soon, I've kind of been in summer mode. And y'all know what I mean when I say summer mode. It's like fall asleep and I hear beach noises. It's like, what the heck? I need to transition into, all right, we're coming into the fall now. And so this morning, I woke up early and I got a chance to jump on campus over at Montclair. And I did a prayer walk. I did my own little Jericho walk. And I walked around all of campus, a mile and a half. And then I ran around campus, a mile and a half. But it was just so cool because I had the chance for 45 minutes or so just to pray for Montclair. And just to think about, man, the amazing people who are at Montclair in this ministry. I'm praying for each of you who go to Montclair, part of the Montclair ministry. And it's so humbling being able to go through past the dormitories and going up and down the parking garage as I was praying for the commuters and just realizing there are a lot of students who are going to be going to Montclair in the fall.
Yeah.
Like, there are going to be 20,000 plus students. I think that's the number, 16,000 plus students who are going to be on campus in Montclair. And as I was going through the dorms, after being an RA myself, I was going through the dorms and I was praying for the dorms. I was praying for that window. And I was like, I think Ajane lives there. God, I pray for Ajane. I don't know. But I was praying for everybody. And I started thinking, I was like, man, but it's in these same dormitories where people's hearts are going to be broken. It's in these same dormitories where people are going to get drunk and black out, and they're going to try drugs for the first time. They're going to OD. I saw it happen. It's going to be in these same dormitories where people start contemplating suicide. I've seen it happen. It might be in that dormitory where someone takes their own life. I've heard it happen, right? And I was praying for it. I was like, man, it's epic that we as disciples get to go in there and be a light to this lost world, amen?
Amen.
We get to live a life where, man, that's just not even part of our life. But instead, we get to bring and infuse hope into that amazing things. I got to go jump over to Newark, and I was praying for Newark, and I was walking around campus, and I ran around campus, and I was thinking about the amazing disciples who are in that 30,000 plus students downtown in Newark. It's epic. And same thing, the hope that we get to bring going to Newark is amazing. You know, guys, the lesson that we're talking about tonight, being equipped for life, is only something we can talk about because you already have been equipped for life.
Yeah.
If you make the decision to follow Jesus, if you've gotten right with God, you have been equipped with life to the full. The richest life, the life that the world is thirsting for. The life that the people in the world desire. And God has looked at you and said, I'm going to bestow on you the gift of life to the full. That's so amazing. You know, this afternoon, this evening, as you're sitting here, I really hope that you're sitting here with that mindset of regardless of the conditions, regardless of the things that have happened, like you have been given life to the full because of Jesus. Your sins have been forgiven. You've been cleansed. You're going to heaven. Even our trivial trials and stuff like that aren't worth comparing to the amazing things that are going to happen one day, that are happening right now. We've been equipped with life. And so I'm going to look at a couple of quick scriptures, and we'll really get into it. And Brielle's going to be sharing a couple of times today, so you guys don't have to hear my raspy voice. You got to hear the queen herself speak. But let's all open up to 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 3. Okay. Thank you, whoever the Bible this is. It's helpful. All right, 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Peter starts off with this, and I love where he starts. Listen to these verses about God equipping you for life. Equipped to life for the full. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, verse 3. Chapter 1, 2 Peter 1, verse 3, sorry. It says this. It says, his divine power has given you, has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him, who has called us by his own glory and goodness. God's power, his divine power, has given us everything we need for a godly life.
Verse 1.
That's pretty amazing. Verse 4, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises.
so that through them you may participate, get this, in the divine nature. The divine, what does that even mean? That's epic. Through the life that God has given us, we get to participate in his divine nature, in holiness and heavenliness, in angelic living. Having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and goodness knowledge, and knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness, and godliness mutual affection, and a mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting they have been cleansed from their past sins. This scripture is really cool. Because Peter starts off this message by saying, God has given you everything you need for a godly life.
Yeah.
For life and faithfulness, basically. He's established that for you. He's wiped your slate clean and said, you get to now experience the good life. Prior to this, good life was not possible. Prior to this, divine nature was not possible. But because of the cleansing, you have been able and transformed to experience something so rich, something so real. You get to experience life for what it was designed to be. Now, we want to talk a little bit tonight about how to do life well. Does that sound good? I think it's an important message. It's talking about how to effectively do life. Because here's the thing, is that God has given you life, but he's given you the base and said, hey, now add to this life that I've given you all these different things, love, patience, mutual affection, kindness, X, Y, and Z. But doing life well, it's not a Christian mindset. It's not like a Christian principle. You follow me on that? There's a lot of people, when you go out into the business world, there's a lot of people on our campuses that we look at and we go, wow, they're doing life well. Let's be fair, right? There's a lot of people on campus who are more disciplined than you. There's a lot of people on campus who are smarter than you. You agree?
Yes.
There's a lot of people on campus who might look nicer than you. That's not true for rap. But there are some people who look like they got their life going on a little better than you. But the problem with this mentality is that their life is like a bucket that, yes, they've got the water being poured into, all these great things are happening, they're just filling it and filling it. It's like, man, these guys can't go wrong. They're winning life. But at the base of what they're doing, they have a hole in their bucket. They can fill it, they can fill it, they can fill it, they can fill it, but it's never going to be full. It's always going to be draining. But God said to you, I'm going to fill your bucket. I'm going to close and patch your bucket. I'm going to cleanse you so that you can be full. And that's what God did. He gave you this new life. He equipped you with a new bucket. He equipped you with a new life. And now he's saying, hey, fill it. Fill it with goodness. Fill it with life. And this is what we get to do. And so we get to reinvent how we fill our new life. Turn to John chapter 10, verse 10. That's a great scripture. That scripture might be redundant for you because we talk about it so much. We need to remind ourselves how good this life is. But listen to this. John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the thief, Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. God wants to fill your life, your brand new life with no patch on the bottom. He wants to fill your life to the full and overflowing. God's saying this new life, I've designed it so that you will experience life as it ought to be. That's not something that's possible in the world. But if you're in this room today, you're right with God, you can now be filled in a true, satisfying, and real way. And so we're going to talk about how to do that. How to add to your life, how to fill your life so that you're equipped to be productive, to live to the richest life and live to the full. God's got a plan, but it's also very clear that Satan has a plan If we're going to live an equipped life to the full, we got to do it God's way. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. But before that, Bree's going to come up, and she's going to share it with us.
Let's go, Brielle.
Come on, Bree.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a chance of it. And it's not because were magic, but it's because God. And, you know, I feel so lucky that in these big catastrophic ways, I have no thought that my marriage could end in any of those ways, but also just a day-to-day life. Like, it's just so much better God's way. You know, I get to be married to someone who doesn't belittle me because he loves God, who doesn't hold on to bitterness towards me because he loves God, who doesn't burst out in anger because he loves God, who I trust to lead my family and look out for my good in life because he loves God. Like, most families cannot be described that way. And it's just so crazy because we're really not perfect. Like, literally yesterday, I was laughing at this, because yesterday we got into one of, like, the most heated arguments we have yet, and literally had to be, like, intervened by Robbie Chelsea. It was mutual. But what's so crazy is even though that happens, we can be standing here 24 hours later with no bitterness, no shame, no anger. It's like it didn't happen. Like, and that is literally, I just truly believe that it's not an option without God. And so I think, you know, you have to ask yourself, do you want God's version of a family, or do you want your own? Because you might be thinking this is far off, and what are you talking about? But it's the character that you build now, in your relationships now, that are going to be what your family looks like. And so these lessons that you're learning with your brothers and sisters, that's what your family is going to look like. And I truly believe that the character that God teaches us now is literally going to save us from everything that happens in the world. You know, and that's just with family, in regards to family, but in regards to my career, I literally feel so blessed, which sounds so cheesy, but I just feel so lucky to have been a Christian for 6 years before I'm about to enter my field. Like, last semester, I feel like I really started learning what having a full-time job and career is going to look like, because I was working like 50 hours a week at an internship, and I just saw, like, how much I can do better because I'm a Christian. Like, just the lessons that God has taught me, like, one of the hardest things about this was, so every day at my internship, I would treat for like 7 sessions, and then at the end of every session, 7 times a day, the 4 speech therapists that were there would sit in front of me and tell me everything I did wrong, and everything that I should have done better, that I don't know, because I'm just learning. And like, of course, if I want to be a better student, I'll just, but that like hurts, and it's hard to hear every day for 3 months. Sleep deprived and exhausted, and it was rough. But as a disciple, I learned how to handle feedback with humility. I've learned how to be told hard truths about myself, humbly accept that I made mistakes, and learn from that experience without growing bitter towards my supervisors, defensive to the feedback, or insecure about who I am as a person, because I knew that my value was rooted in Jesus and not what they thought about me. And it was very hard to get through. But I, like, literally can't imagine getting through it without learning those lessons previously. You know, and that character was nothing special about me. It just was built through years and years of detox. And it's the character that's being built in you guys every single week. And whatever job you choose, like, you're literally going to be better at it because you're being trained to be like Jesus. Jesus would have been the best speech pathologist because he was compassionate. Jesus would have been the best teacher because he knew how to individually meet every kind of person's needs. Jesus would have been the best business person because he was diligent, hardworking, and never cut corners. Jesus is literally the best at every single career. And since he became a disciple, your character has been slowly molded into this man who is literally the best in your field. Whatever that field is. Isn't that crazy? You know, the lessons you learn in discipleship, whether it's compassion, integrity, confidence, diligence, self-control, discernment, being a team player, having leadership skills, active listening, all of these things are literally, if you Google what companies are looking for in employees, that's them. But I literally just described Jesus. You know? And so by developing this godly character, aka by doing life with God, we really get to experience the best version of our lives in every way.
Yeah. Wow.
All right. So I love what we're talking about here, because the truth is that God has replaced the slate and has put you on the track, a new track, saying you can experience life to the full.
This is the new life that is life as it was designed to be, something that we couldn't experience before. But God says very clearly, God through Peter says very clearly, that you need to be intentional about adding to that life. Going back to 2 Peter, back in verse 1 and verse 8, he goes, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being infected and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting what they've heard and cleansed from their past sins." So in this room, to be equipped for life, we got to add a couple of things. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Two things we got to add. And then we're out of here. You ready for this? The first thing we got to add to our life in order to experience life to the full, the first thing is being a visionary. It's being a visionary. John 10:10, God's got plans, Satan's got plans. God's plans for you is to dream big. He says, "I can do more than you can ever ask or imagine." Dream big. Whereas Satan says, think temporary, think small, think short-sightedly. It's funny, when we were doing evil at evil times, we would think long-term in plans of our evil. We would think long-term about what we could do this, who we could do this with, 7 months out, right? We were thinking about those things. But when it came to being in Christ, it's really hard sometimes to plan a year in advance, 6 months in advance, to have a vision of where we're going. But God's saying, dream big, guys. He designed us to dream big, to be visionaries. God's a visionary. Clearly, he created the universe from nothing. Jesus was a visionary. In Luke 13:32, he says, "Let's go tell that fox, I'm here on this day, next day I'm somewhere else, and the third day I'll reach my goal." God had a vision of what he was doing and where he was going. Life to the full requires making plans and having visions for your own life. Okay? Great scripture. I didn't write it down, I think it's Proverbs 28. Verse 19, but it's this idea that whoever, let me just read it, because I think it's appropriate for what we're talking about here. Proverbs, Proverbs 28. I've never read this before, but being a visionary, but listen to what he says. Proverbs 28. I'm sorry, it's in there somewhere. But it's this idea of whoever, where there's a lack of vision, the people cast off restraint.
Yeah.
Right? You've heard me say this before. But when we don't have a dream of where we're going and what we're doing, we're not going to be willing to restrain ourselves from the desires that we have in temporary. That's why we got to dream big. Otherwise, you're going to be short-sighted and blind, led by impulses and short thinking, not planning for the long term. You know, living your life to the full for college students. I'm talking about us real quick, guys. I love you on campus ministry, but you can't stay here forever. You gotta get out of here, please. You shouldn't be here for like 12 years, okay? Getting out of college in an appropriate amount of time requires planning. A lack of planning will keep you in college for a long time. It doesn't happen naturally, trust me. You know, you have to be very intentional if you're not graduating 4. You have to be pretty intentional if you're graduating 5, 6, and 7, you know, you think. But it requires high levels of intentionality. I want to take a minute right here, and this is kind of interactive, but I want to take a minute or so for each of us to stop and write down 3 bullet points on your notes. So if you're taking notes, mental bullet points, I would encourage you to write this down. But 3 bullet points of where you would like to see yourself by the fall of 2020. 2020, man, I'm just trying to graduate fall, September, right? But where do you want to be in fall 2020? Whether that's having a car, living outside your parents' house, $2,000 in savings, etc. Where do you want to be in fall 2020? Let's be a visionary real quick. Give you a couple of seconds here. Where do you want to be fall 2020? Somebody said they want 3 kids. That's not possible.
Right.
Okay, pause. Go back and do this for homework. Does anybody want to share anything they want by fall 2020?
Oh, hey, hang on.
Stand up.
Just say something. Wow. I want to have a full-time job, make a 9K, and maybe grad school at the same time. That's really how it works. Okay, I like that. Amber? Sisters and being able to afford it. That's a viable dream. Josh,
$10,000 saved up. Wow. That's epic. That's epic. All right, now pause. That's not a common practice for us. Do you guys agree? We're thinking 3 months, 5 months, whatever. But this is a year down the line. Now, you gotta ask yourself, what am I gonna do in fall 2019 that's gonna work towards that goal? Like, that's the way that we have to live, is deconstructing our dreams. Right. Saying, this is where I'm going. This is what I aspire to. Thinking big. You know, maybe that means getting a driver's license. Hey, guys, let me just say something real quick. You're in college, guys. Now, you might not be in a place where you need a driver's license, or you'll ever drive. That's okay. But do you know how to take public transportation? Are you consistent with doing it? Have you gotten advice and have you figured out how to get yourself places so that you're not completely dependent on others? That's a great dream and a vision to have. You know, hey, I want to have a brother's or sister's house. Okay? Well, are you working right now to have a consistent income so that you can do that one day? You gotta start thinking that way. When you're thinking, hey, I'm just trying to survive for the next 2 months, you're not thinking about, okay, well, I need about $400 in my savings. I need about $1,000, $2,000 in my savings in order to accomplish that. Being a visionary is part of having a good life. We gotta start thinking that way if we aren't already. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Awesome. Second thing is just basic. Adding to your life, being a visionary, but adding to your life, hard work. Hard work. God says work hard, determination, get things done. Satan says be lazy, have your comfort and your pleasure, and put it above God. Man, that's just Satan's favorite lingo. He says that way in our ears. I want to ask you guys, what are some scriptures that inspire you to live this new life and work really hard in it? What are some scriptures that get you there? Amber. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work out with all your heart. As in the word of the Lord, not the man, but human masters. I love it. What else? What inspires you? Verses of scriptures inspired our work. Sure.
Whoever keeps on sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, he must sacrifice
his sins and love, rather than fearful reputation. Cool. Dude, that's awesome. Right there. That idea of, hey, it's a new life. You got to start changing. You don't keep doing what you're doing. I love it. Come on. That's one. Scripture for me that speaks to this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Alright. Can someone read that when we get there? Elijah, you got it?
Verse
11 or 12. Go ahead and read that, bro.
Okay.
Nice and loud.
And to make your vision to lead a quiet life, you should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as you were told. So that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody.
Wow. So this is God speaking through Paul. He says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, working with your hands, so that you can win the respect of outsiders. God is saying, add to your life hard work.
Come on.
attitude in life that it should be our ambition, something that we're determined and going after. That needs to describe you going into this fall. Because I'm a hard worker. I'm a disciple, therefore I'm a hard worker. The two need to be synonymous. You know, this idea about hard work is difficult because in one hand, God says, I've come to give you the good life. And in my mind, for a really long time, you know what a good life looked like? My perfect day was never leaving my bed. I watched 16 episodes of maybe Grey's Anatomy or Daredevil or something like that. I had the food shit straight through my window. It was coming right into my mouth. I had a long straw. Like, it was this dream of doing nothing I thought was the good life. But then, I'll just say this, in May of last year, right when campus ended, I found myself like watching a lot of Netflix, not doing a whole lot of stuff. And I had my quiet times, maybe kind of shoddy quiet times, just for about a week, I'm just being open with you guys. It was really a weird time. And I started feeling funky. You ever feel funky in your discipleship? I started feeling funky, but I'm like, I'm doing my dream. I'm short of island and sand between my toes. This is the life. But then I realized, man, you know what? Netflix and binging on Netflix and doing tons of video games, not doing a whole lot of stuff, that's actually not refreshing for my soul. I had to sit back and reevaluate what are the things that make my soul come alive. And I thought, top 8 things. I thought Netflix, Hulu, YouTube, something like that was going to be on there, but I realized I was going outdoors, spending time with friends, working out, spending time with my wife, and all these different things. And then it was like, maybe Netflix and Hulu was 8th or 9th on the list. It was so backwards. The things that I thought brought good life were actually the things at the bottom of the list that brings good life. Whereas the things that do bring good life and true satisfaction, not that shallow stuff, was hard work, was diligence, was discipline, was cranking and making things happen. The pursuit of happiness is fleeting and sad. But instead, happiness is a byproduct of doing hard work and fulfilling your purpose. That's how it comes. You gotta be a hard worker. Studying hard in your classes, making things happen. Bree's gonna come up and she's gonna share a little bit about hard work, and then we're gonna close out and explain a little bit more of what we're doing tonight.
Spindle.
with her fingers. She's hard at working. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She's generous. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She takes care of others. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. She knows her worth. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's an opportunist. She makes the most of opportunities. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She is secure and dignified. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She is wise and full of faith. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She is not lazy. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. She fears God. Yeah. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. And so the scripture literally just describes the character of this golden woman who's winning at life. And then it says, praise her, honor her. She is worthy of all of that praise. And so for you, I want you to look through that list of characteristics and underline two that you feel you embody right now. Because you guys are all noble women. There's no one in this room that a woman. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you all are godly. So I know that there are things in this list that you're doing well. And after you underline two that you think you're doing well, I want you to circle two that you don't think describe your life right now. And once you do that, I really would encourage you to have a quiet time on each of those aspects that you feel you need to grow in, because godly character is really how we get to live our best lives. This woman would have had things missing if she didn't have this character leading her in the way that she lived. And as you study out those characteristics that you highlighted in the Proverbs 31 woman, I want you to remember that God believes in you and wants to bless the socks off of you. And that none of us are born Proverbs 31 women. Like, that doesn't just happen.
Come on.
But that to really just want to encourage you not to be hard on yourself, but really to just allow God to mold you so you can win at life too.
Woo! Yeah, God has equipped you for life's equal. God said, hey, I'm going to put you on a path where now life can be added to you and added to you to a point of overflowing. It's yours. It's on your responsibility to add to those life, add to that life hard working, and add to that life being a visionary. And when you do that, your life will shine. That's going to be an incredible thing. Well, guys, thanks for listening. We're going to close out in worship, and then Mark's going to come and make an announcement.